True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Well, howdy, everybody. Off-season podcast number two. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday, October 1st. Frank Stanfill alongside Scott White, as always. But we said we would bring you the best guests in the industry. And that's exactly what we did. Welcome back to the show, Nando DeFino!
Hey, Reggie!
What's going on, Nando?
How's it going? It's Scotty White!
Yeah, reunited. Is this the first time we've been on the CBS podcast together since we were on the CBS podcast together?
Maybe, right?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something else. How about that, Frank? Well,
that was eons ago.
It was six and a half years ago.
We've had a combined three children since then.
How about that? I'm sure there have been some other accomplishments too.
Yeah, but nothing like that.
Yeah, nothing like that. I guess you're right. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
What's going on with you, Nando? How's life? For those people who don't know who Nando is, he was one of the co-hosts here on Fantasy Baseball Today way before I was here, back in the day with Scott White and Adam Azer and Al Melchior at the time. He's gone off. He's done his own thing. He's broken off. He's with The Athletic now, and he is joining us today. We're going to have a lot of fun on today's. But how are you doing, Nando? How's life?
It was good, Frank. Thanks for asking, man. It's, good times. I'm just here in my basement. Everyone's asleep upstairs.
With an awesome Labyrinth poster somewhere down there. So that is.
It's over there.
That's great. Huge fan.
I can't twist it. I've got too many things here. Like I almost knocked over my water and then I almost knocked over the microphone. So we're going to stay stationary for now. Just imagine a Labyrinth poster that was given to me by Adam Azer.
Fantastic movie. If anyone hasn't seen it, one of the few movies that I actually have seen. We're learning as we go along here, Nando, but Scott will just make a reference of something. I'm like, never seen it. Have no idea what that is, but I think he's kind of learning that. I
think the most upsetting to me, well, there's a lot of upsetting things. Never mind. I'm not sure. The fact you haven't seen any Jurassic Park movies, the only Matrix movie you've seen is not the first one. You haven't seen any Terminators, right? You haven't seen, I'm sure I'm forgetting others. But the other day, Nando, I had my end of season awards, and I had the Gonzo Award for biggest weirdo.
All right. And he didn't know who Gonzo
was? He said he had to look up who Gonzo was.
Oh, Frank, come on, man. That seems like a pop culture thing you're missing out on. Oh, that's like not knowing what a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is.
Is it the same, though?
Yes, it is, man. Gonzo's everywhere.
All right. Well,
even if you missed the Gonzo Muppets, you still had Muppet Babies, which should have been right in your age wheelhouse.
I think I watched the Muppets growing up. Maybe like some of their movies? Or, I don't know. I don't really
got a bunch of new movies? Whatever.
I don't remember anything before, I don't know, the age of like 15, so whatever. Scott, how are you doing? Congrats on the Atlanta Braves. They won their first wild card game. Eventually, yeah. It only took like 13 innings. Did.
They tried hard not to, but they finally pulled it off. Of course, the two teams set a record for deepest into a game, a postseason game without scoring a run. And you know, after a year when the Braves offense was just completely absurd, of course, you know, Trevor Bauer for 7 1/3 innings, it makes sense he'd shut them down. But to go go scoreless against the Reds bullpen for that many innings. Yeah, they finally broke through in the 13th walk-off win. And maybe they will win their first postseason series since 2001, and it will advance them to the point where they already were and kept losing because, you know, there was an extra series added. Maybe that'll happen.
I haven't congratulated you on winning the Scott White Dynasty League yet because you created the league with your own rules that were weird. And you've engineered a three-peat in a league named after you. So
nothing fishy about that.
I respect it, but I'm not going to publicly congratulate you, even though we're friends.
Yeah, I'll just chase everybody away because I keep winning. It took me a few years to break through with that first win, but now I can't lose.
Frank, you got to get in line for this league, man. It's awesome. It is no money, which is usually the first red flag for me. I'm like, I don't care about this league, but this is like the league that I pay attention to up until the very, very bitter end. And I don't know why. I've come to love these players. I think it's because Scott set it up so you can really have a player for like 8 years and you can really grow close to them.
And that was actually one of the first things I brought up to Scott when I came here was, you know, when we worked together, Nando, we, you know, for those who don't know, we've worked together in the past. Nando would come in and he would say, like, the only league that he would pay attention to was the Scott White Dynasty League. He's like, I love this league. I don't know what it is. It's just, there's something about this league. But I also did make fun of Scott the other day that he keeps winning his own Dynasty League and he's going to scare people away. I am on the waiting list. I don't know how long it's going to take, but hopefully.
You need a couple of people scared away, Frank. You want in.
Little sneak peek. We're going to talk about some of Nando's favorites a little bit later on in the show. Maybe there might be a Blue Jay on that list, but I want to hear about some of those deep sleepers for 2021. He already dropped a few names before we started recording, and Scott and I are looking at each other like, all right, well, who's that guy? So we're going to need Nando to break it down for us. We also have some over and underachievers, and we're going to play a little game of fact or fiction.
I didn't look those up, by the way. I knew what you were going for, so I didn't look it up.
We're going to pit Nando and Scott up against each other. See
Scott's going to win.
Comes out victorious. I have a few fun facts on there, so don't count yourself out yet, Nando.
All right.
All right. Before
Scott's an underrated pop culture guy, man. People don't realize Scott White is a pop culture phenom.
Yeah, well.
And we have a lot of overlapping circles, me and Scott White.
Except if you go in the music realm. If you get into music, I am just, I got nothing there. I got nothing there.
So
a disaster, but movies and TV, I can handle that pretty well.
The way that you feel about music, Scott, is basically how I feel about everything that's not like fantasy related. So I just like live under a rock for my whole life. And I don't know who, what's his name again? Doink or whatever Gonzo? It is. Gonzo. There you go.
Doink.
All right. Before we get started, Nando, we said that we were going to ask all of our guests these two questions in the off season and see how they react. So I want to ask you, how much does this past season matter? It is a 60 game season. We saw crazy outlier seasons from like Jose Abreu, 33 years old, Salvador Perez, you know, coming back from Tommy John surgery, randomly has an OPS over 900, never had an OPS over 800 ever before. How are you treating this past season's statistics? Do they matter? Should we couple them with the last 100 games of 2019 and look at like a 162 game sample? Do they matter?
So I'm going to treat it very disingenuously, actually, going for like, I'm going to pick and choose the arguments that I want to make. I think deep in my heart, it's not going to matter because you got to think if I'm, you know, 26 going into the season, there are so many different personalities out there. Like, is this guy, was he afraid? Did he not get hyped up because there was no crowd? It was the whole overall feeling weird. Was he like, let's just go. Like, I'm just going to go as hard as I can for 60 games. And I'm going to swing like I was 14 again and to hell with like taking walks. So I think it was just such a weird season. Like there are little things you can take, but I'm really, if I need something to make an argument, I'm going to take it. Most of the time I will, you can't take anything away from this, man. There's just so many different personalities. And it was so weird that you really got to get into their heads. And then you got to hope that they're telling you the truth if you ask them a question about it. And I don't know. I'm probably going to skip this year with a lot of analysis.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to clarify there, not taking anything away from this, meaning you're not pinning too much to these numbers, I guess, which that's kind of where I am too. I look at somebody like Salvador Perez, lengthy track record of being one thing, and then he's this much better thing this year. Jose Abreu, kind of the same way. And then, of course, you have the other end of the spectrum, like Christian Yelich and I mean, countless examples, of course, but
right. But you know, like Jerks and Profar. I know we brought him up again because I was looking at him this morning. Like, there might be something there, like a better lineup. Finally had the chance, you know, he played a position, they stuck with him after things got rough instead of people just dumping him or put him in the outfield. Well, I guess they put him in the outfield. But you know what I mean? Like, he turned it around in the second month of the season. So maybe something like that I can take and be like, maybe he's capable, if a team believes in him, of actually coming through and playing up to his potential.
So, yeah, I kind of feel like what we're going to see, like, throughout the industry, people's rankings, you know, there had been a lot, too much agreement, too much consensus in recent years. Everybody kind of had come to value the same things, the introduction of StatCast. I mean, there was so much information available.
Right.
It became pretty hard to refute. And so everybody was kind of on the same page with it, except for, you know, a handful of players. I think it's going to be pretty wild heading into 2021, the way people are evaluating players. Because you got guys like me who's going to be like, okay, Salvador Perez, amazing. But I still think Wilson Contreras is better because I don't have any reason to believe he's not better. Like, two months of information isn't enough to change that for me based on what we knew about those guys previously.
And I appreciate,
you know, you can't look at it like it's those 2 months are April and May, and you can't look at it like those months, you know, are July and August. Like, you don't even know what those 2 months would have been on a sliding scale of a regular season. So you can't even be like, oh, those are just a 2 month sample size, because there's no context to it. It's going to be very confusing.
Now, that's a good point. And I've tried to compare what players have done already in this 2 month sample compared to the first 2 months last year. But you're right. It's like, should you look at the first 2 months of 2019? Should you look at the last 2 months, the league leaders, if you want to compare things? So it is interesting. And I was actually watching a game today, and they brought it up on a broadcast. They were talking to a manager, and he was a former player. I forgot who it was. And he said, you know, normally it took me about 50, 60 games to get my swing right in a full-length season. So,
I think it was Dusty Baker saying that.
And it's like, when you hear a quote like that, it's like, all right, well, how much stock do we put into Christian Yelich having a career-high 30% strikeout rate, Javier Baez being the worst version of himself that we've ever seen? So it's going to be tough to handle these things in the offseason, but we have a long time to try and figure out what we want to do with them. Also, Nando, how do you envision teams handling starting pitchers next season? You know.
Oh, yeah, this one's I have no idea.
It's,
man,
crazy.
Like, I have zero idea. You know, like, I'd like Julio Urias, for example, like, this year a lot, because there wasn't going to be an innings concern. But I mean, you fast forward to next year, and obviously there's going to be one again. And I don't even, like, there's not going to be any winter league play, I'm assuming. Like, I don't know. Maybe they can somehow bubble, like, the Dominican League, which maybe it's not as hard. But I don't know. I don't know what these guys who play in the winter leagues are going to do either. So it's just going to be weird, man. The whole thing's going to be weird. And I'd count on the guys who are younger to, you know, 119, 120 innings, something like that. Maybe they'll just go back to 28-man rosters in the DH in the National League just for next year to do that transition year. And on top of that, man, they could be lockout and strike. I think the CBA expires, right? Like, this is going to be a mess.
Yeah, I don't know if that's before this upcoming season or if it's after it. If it's after the 2021 season.
Yeah, I think they have one more year of agreement, but if they're going to strike, it would be before the agreement ended. So,
right.
I mean, it's guys like Corbin Burnes that come to mind for me who, you know, he was a reliever last year. He looked fantastic this year, very dominant as a starting pitcher. Scott has talked about him potentially being, you know, drafted as a top 20 starting pitcher. Next year, it's, you know, what do we project in terms of innings for him? What do we do with Jesus Luzardo, another one who's, you know, never really thrown a large quantity of innings in a full season. So,
I even wonder about some more proven guys. If they're young, if they're controllable for several more years, like a Lucas Giolito or a Luis Castillo, like, how much is the team willing to risk with their health? An increase of 100 innings from 1 year to the next? I mean, that's a lot.
I mean, who knows what they were throwing when they had the break, but probably not the same intensity and volume because they didn't know when they were coming back.
Yeah.
Right, you couldn't simulate 80 innings if you're Lucas Giolito in his garage at home, you know? Like, how are you? I mean, I guess you kind of could, but that's crazy.
Or
Joe, every 5 days,
Joe Kelly throwing baseballs through his window or whatever.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's I don't know if people did that.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, this offseason of prep for 2021 is going to be different.
It's going to be awesome, sure. Frankie. Chaos.
Yes, chaos. Embrace the chaos. All right, some 2020 overachievers. And what I'm going to do here is a mix of StatCast, expected numbers, and just players in general that surprised us and surprised me in general. Everyone knows by now, you listen to the podcast all year, I was 100% wrong on Trevor Bauer. We spoke about it the other day on our award show as well. But he was drafted as SP22, according to NFBC ADP data, throughout the month of July when people were starting to draft again once we knew that the season was returning. He finishes as the SP3 overall in Roto Leagues, 1.73 ERA, 0.79 whip, 100 strikeouts in 73 innings pitched. He just had 12 strikeouts in 7 2/3 shutout against the Braves in their wild card game as well. Nando.
Yo.
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
I mean, where did this come from? Is it legit? You're drafting him as a top five starting pitcher next year, second round pick. The last time we did that was entering the 2019 season, and it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, he's an up and down kind of guy, and he's well versed in kind of like the Trevor Bauer, I don't want to call it kookiness, but he's kind of like a free spirit. And look, maybe the Reds just accepted that this year. Their pitching coach is amazing. If you look at what he did with that staff last year and the K per nines that he brought it, that's why I was in love with Jose De Leon this preseason, which didn't work out so well. But yeah, it was the same kind of idea. Like, he's taking these pitchers, and maybe the two of them just get along well and they mesh. So I'd say I'm like a 60-40 having faith in Trevor Bauer, but I think that 40% of not fully being in I'm not going to get him in any auctions unless the entire league is feeling the same way, and I don't think they will be. I want to love him. And I remember, I think we were at CBS together, Scott, when it was like Trevor Bauer Day. When he was coming up, he made his first start for the Diamondbacks.
It was like huge.
Super duper hype. PCL, amazing ERA. And I don't know, man. Like, he's just so up and down that you're going to have to pay ace money for him. I think Trevor Bauer next year is probably like a $30, $31, $32 pitcher at least. I don't even care what team he ends up on. But I can't go there. I'd probably stop at like 22 or 23.
Last four season ERAs for Bauer, if we're including this season as an actual season, 1.73, 4.48, 2.21, 4.19. So it has been a roller coaster ride. Scott, if you owned him in one of your dynasty leagues, or a dynasty league, a keeper league, Trevor Bauer is 29 years old. He will turn 30 in January.
That's also crazy. I can't wrap my head around Trevor Bauer being 30 years old.
He's about to be 30 years old.
I know.
Scott, would you try and sell high if you have him in one of those, in that context, in a keeper dynasty context?
I don't think I would, if I'm just being honest. Obviously, there is some risk of him taking a big step back. We've already seen it before. But I put so much value on high-end starting pitchers and find them so difficult to obtain and so valuable in today's environment that I would cling to them for as long as I could and hoard them. I'd be finding anybody else was trying to sell at that position. You could maybe talk me into it if I was getting one back in the deal, but if not, I would probably just cross my fingers that Bauer has truly figured it out this time and would be an ace for my staff moving forward.
How many times have we said that he truly figured it out, though, right? Like, that's the problem. I almost feel like he has figured it out, and then he just tries to mess with it for fun.
That's the Chris Towers theory. Yeah, he tinkers his way out of success. Yeah, it proved to be true last year. But, man, his spin rates were up so much on all of his pitches from previous years. So it wasn't even like a pitch selection thing. He just became like this superhuman baseball thrower. And I don't know. I don't know how sustainable that is, but like, I also know there's a great pitcher in there because of what he did 2 years ago. And like, he's so smart. He's so studious. I just trust him. Even if things go awry, I trust it to get back on track. And by the way, in 2019, they only really went awry for that stretch with the Reds after he got traded. It was just a disaster and it inflated his season numbers.
Didn't he tweak something with Cleveland like 2 weeks before that and then went to the Reds? Wasn't there something right? Like, I'd have to go back and check, but yeah, I feel like something was tinged or tweaked and then he still got traded.
I don't remember. I could probably look it up real quick.
Let's make Frank look it up. He's the host.
Well, I'm going to try to move the show along, but if anyone else looks it up and finds an answer, please, please let us know. Two AL East youngins here. Alex Verdugo and Ryan Mountcastle. Now, this is all StatCast here. Alex Verdugo hit .308 with a .478 slug. His expected batting average was .271, so nearly 60 points lower. His expected slug was .440. Nope, that is wrong. I was reading Mountcastle's numbers. All right. The XBA for Verdugo was .239. His batting average was .308. His X slug was .373. His actual slug was .478. So nearly 100 points lower. Mountcastle hit .330 with a .492 slug. His XBA, .271. X slug, .440. Nando, Verdugo, Mountcastle. Do you like either of these guys? Did they overachieve this season? Did they do enough to earn your trust? Will you be excited about either one next season?
Yeah, love them both. Love them both, Frankie. The only thing holding me back on Verdugo was I believe he had the back issues coming into this year. And inside injuries, our old pals wrote this great thing about how they're probably going to linger and affect him. And I think maybe that happened early on, but maybe the Red Sox were such a kind of disaster this year that people will apply that to the entire team and not just their pitching staff. And you'll get maybe a Verdugo discount when we roll into next year. Mountcastle, maybe because he's on the Orioles, no one pays attention. They think they're terrible. You'll also be able to get a discount, but both of them, man, I think those are numbers that maybe give them a 10% discount or maybe a 10% plus. They're legit. Basically they're legit. I think Verdugo is a little more exciting than Mountcastle if you're looking for some power, but like them both very much.
The thing that stands out to me most for Verdugo is he had a 52% ground ball rate. Like, he's just got to hit the ball in the air a little bit more. Some line drives, put the ball in the air.
He's done that in the minors. He had serious, like at least 225 plus homer season paces in the minors, right? I'm looking it up.
For Verdugo, he had very high line drive rates in the minors for Verdugo, but did always hit the ball on the ground a lot. So kind of shies away from the fly balls. Mountcastle, someone who hit a few more fly balls in the minors, which bodes very well, obviously hitting in Camden Yards. Scott, if you were looking at both of these names heading into next season, Mountcastle or Verdugo, which young outfielder would you be more excited about?
That's a good question. I haven't really compared them side by side before. I haven't gotten that far in my 2021 rankings yet, if you can believe it. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Mountcastle because I am a little more confident in the power with him, partially for what you're saying. I mean, how often Verdugo puts the ball on the ground. But, you know, they'll be pretty close.
Yeah. Look, there's definitely more pedigree with Verdugo. There's no doubt about that. I mean, centerpiece of a trade for Mookie Betts. I've been waiting a long time for Mountcastle, though, so been excited for him. Yeah, I'm going to go Mountcastle there as well, unless something crazy happens in the offseason. Teoscar Hernandez finished as the fifth best outfielder in Roto this year, .289 batting average, 16 home runs, 6 stolen bases. Nando, is this one of those Blue Jays that you were referring to?
No, not specifically. Mine are Rowdy Tellez and Vlad Jr., and I love them very much. But Teoscar Hernandez has grown on me, man. He reminds me of like prime, Angels outfielder who got suspended, played for Oakland.
Ah, yes. I know who you're talking about. Jose Guillen.
Jose Guillen. Thank
famous,
you. Yeah.
Famous passage involving Jose Guillen in Fantasyland.
Yeah. Yes.
Where Nando DeFino was introduced to the fantasy baseball world. Great. Yeah. Great book.
Teoscar Hernandez reminds me of it. He got some nice power, a little bit of speed. Don't know where the batting average is going to end up. That was kind of how I remember profiling him back in the day.
Scott, have you gained more confidence in Teoscar Hernandez?
No. No. That's the perfect example of a player, kind of like I was talking about Salvador Perez and Jose Abreu. Like, we have such a clear track record for Teoscar Hernandez. And he's not a young guy. He's not an old guy, but he's not a young guy. I don't really see what improve. I mean, certainly you could look at the expected stats and say, oh, okay, they're amazing. They're even better than his actual stats were, like the expected batting average, the expected slug. But this is kind of the second year that I've paid really close attention to those numbers. So I'm kind of getting a feel for how they work still. and seeing how slippery they were just over the course of these 2 months gives me little confidence that they're, if you don't believe in the skill set in the first place, that they're really pointing to how legitimate the player is. They may point out that, okay, to this point in the season, his quality of contact should have earned these numbers, but it doesn't in any way suggest that the quality of contact is going to continue. And so specifically when the two areas where a player stands out the most as having had the biggest increase are hard hit rate and barrel percentage, I mean, that to me just suggests he was hot. You know, if the plate discipline was still as bad as before, if the distribution of line drives versus fly balls was similar to what it was before, then I'm not sure an actual change happened. And maybe he was due to cool off.
So I know he was hot in the second half of 2019. I'm looking up his last 162 games, including obviously this season and dating back to last year. 252 batting average, 42 home runs, 85 runs, 94 RBI, 11 steals. It's pretty impressive. I mean, he strikes out a ton. That's always going to be a like 33% strikeout rate during this time. He has the tools. I feel like we've heard that for a while. Like power speed combination is no doubt about it. But being a 289 hitter, even with that quality of contact, 30% strikeout rate is probably closer to like a 260, 270 hitter max. Let's skip ahead a little bit here because I want to get to some of the underachievers. But the last name I wanted to mention for the overachievers, Dustin May. 2.57 ERA, but according to StatCast, he had a 4.30 expected ERA. Basically, sinker, cutter, curveball relies a lot on like these different iterations of a fastball. He throws his curveball like 10% of the time. Scott, if you have Dustin May in a dynasty context, do you think that he is an ascending player, or do you think you should try and cash in on these numbers while they look as good as they did in 2020?
Yeah, that's a weird question because
I thought it was a fine question, Frank.
Thanks, Don.
It was a good question. It's a weird predicament because, like, yes, the ERA and WHIP were good in a way that isn't necessarily backed up by the advanced numbers. But was the actual fantasy production good? He wasn't pitching that deep into games. He didn't win that many games. Are people going to say this is an obvious asset? And if they're not saying this is an obvious asset, do you want to be the one who sells on the potential that's clearly there? Highly regarded prospect. He's only known success in the majors so far. He's a great ground ball pitcher. His stuff is like GIF worthy. Like every time he's pitching, your Twitter timeline is being harassed by Pitch Ninja because it's just like, isn't that what the account is? Pitching Ninja, Pitch Ninja.
Yeah, Pitching Ninja.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. he's so young still. Like, I imagine he's going to get better at missing bats, which is the only reason you would question his ability at this point. Is he, you know, does he miss enough bats? So I'm probably not looking to sell him. I'm not a big sell high guy in general, to be honest with you. So that's usually going to be my answer unless I just know for sure that the player isn't like it's definitely a mirage. The player really isn't this good and just unload him for what you can while you still can, which is what people should have done midseason with Kyle Lewis before I backed off that stance.
Dustin May, just 23 years old. And yeah, it's really just the strikeouts, the whiffs that he's lacking right now. Command is good, 2.57 walks per nine. Limits hard contact, 29% hard contact rate. Gets a ton of ground balls, over 50% ground ball rate. Nando, if you were in a dynasty setting and looking to sell high on Dustin May, would you do the old sell Dustin May for Chris Paddock? Do you think that's something that you could actually pull off?
I would do it if I had Dustin May. Yes. I don't know if the person who had Paddock would do it. I think they'll dismiss this season, but I would try. I would definitely rather have Chris Paddock. I think he's proven himself at the major league level. I think his strikeout rate has been proven to be higher. I think May maybe has some potential to equal it, but probably not. Look, I like Dustin May's WHIP. I look at WHIP first more than anything in the world. Yeah, you're inheriting risk in that maybe Paddock is hurt and you might lose a season of him, but it's still dynasty. So you got to be looking like 2025. And when you dial that up, I think you'll look back at 2023, 2024, 2022, and you'll get better numbers from Paddock. Yeah. It'll be close, but I think you'll get better numbers from Paddock.
Now, that's, I would prefer Paddock too, for what it's worth. I think in terms of a dynasty situation, I'm thinking, okay, do you trade Dustin May, this partially proven commodity who's still very early in his career, for some prospects? And I don't. I guess that's usually where my head goes when I'm thinking dynasty trade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's still a prospect himself. Well, not really, but he's still young, you know, so someone that could be ascending. It's just get a little bit scared off by his lack of swinging strikes.
But you got to have a certain mindset to do that deal too. Like a straight up young starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Like you've got to be like, yeah, there's got to be some upside here. And I just wonder if the person who has Paddock would be thinking there's crazy upside with May. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And the Paddock owner might just be worried, right? I mean, it's a small sample, of course, but it really was not good for this entire season and then in the postseason as well. Only one start, of course. Gary Sanchez just hit a 2-run home run in the postseason off of Tristan McKenzie, so that's awesome. And I think it's a good way to transition into some of the underachievers. I don't know if he's an underachiever. I don't know what to make of Gary Sanchez at this point. So Nando, I'm hoping you have some kind of idea.
Pass. Because like I don't want no whammies. This is a Scott question, man. Dude, I don't like I don't know what he is.
He hit 147.
He might be Mike Napoli. 25 home runs, 220. You know, he might be that young catcher who just needed to figure out how to catch first. And once that pressure's off of him, you know, he can focus on the plate again. So maybe he's a 280, 30 home run hitter. I don't know. Honestly have no idea. And I think anyone who can tell you they can pinpoint what Gary Sanchez is going to be is probably guessing just as much as we are.
Gary Sanchez just hit 147, so 36% strikeout rate. I don't think he's that bad. 2019, he hit 230 with 34 homers. I still think, unquestionably, he has the highest power ceiling for a catcher, but it's just, are you willing to inherit that kind of batting average liability? It's kind of like Joey Gallo at the catcher position. It's
not even inheriting that. You got to pay. Like he's a 260, 31 home run hitter. And if you think he's 220, 30, you're still paying for that extra batting average. That's all the problem.
Well, here's my stance on Gary Sanchez, if I can get into it now. I have him fourth going into next season at the position. Nando, catcher's the one position I've completely ranked so far. Nice. I'm fourth. He's been a disappointment before. He's never been a disaster until this year. And the disaster was mostly related to the strikeout rate, which was just super bloated. A lot of players. We saw that from a lot of players this year. And I feel like we got to give a pass for that, as weird as this season was with the atypical buildup. Like, if that's the only issue going on with a player, and that's all I can see for Gary Sanchez, it probably doesn't count for that much. And there are so few real difference makers at catcher. I feel like if you're dropping him outside of your top four or five, you know, you're putting too much hopes on Travis d'Arnaud, who has just right. this one amazing year, or Austin Nola, somebody like that. And I, at that point, just give me Gary Sanchez, because I still feel like I have a better idea who he is than who those guys are.
Right.
Do you have Will Smith?
But I think that's like a super tier drop off, though, right? From four to five, it has to be. If you're going from Gary Sanchez and your next guy's Nola, then you're talking about like
I have Gary Sanchez four, d'Arnaud five, Yasmani Grandal sixth, who also took a big step back this year and is pretty old for a catcher. Will Smith seventh. If I had better assurances about his playing time, I might take him over Gary Sanchez.
See, I feel like you've just named a bunch of guys who were like sub $20, maybe even sub $15 in an auction, where Gary Sanchez can still fetch like 26. I think that's how I would see it.
If that's how it plays out, then I won't have much Gary Sanchez either. Yeah.
I think if you're straight ranking them, four is great. It's just five is a total, like you're almost like you want to skip a tier, you know, like there could be such a gap there in that. I don't know.
No, I think so many people have been burned by Gary Sanchez at this point that I think you actually are going to see him go for a discount in 2021.
I might be in on him then.
Yeah, because I've never owned them before, but I just know talking to people that there's like so many people have had this happen where it's not just this year. I think it's 2018. He had like a 691 OPS over that entire season. He only played 89 games, but like 697 OPS. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, so we've rambled for way too long, so I'm not going to get to any of these other underachievers.
This isn't rambling. This is good information, Frankie. Come on.
It's fantastic information, but I have a game that I want to play, so I want to get to that. Quickly promote a few things. Please drop a 5-star Apple Podcast rating and review. We have Nando freaking DeFino on, but also leave a question, and we'll answer it here on the podcast as part of your Apple Podcast review. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Each of our podcasts will be accompanied with video still throughout the offseason, youtube.com/fantasybaseballtoday. And I did have a note from Adam that he wanted me to give you.
Is it a limerick?
No, he said he's sorry about the wedding.
He's not.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Dude sent me a framed labyrinth thing because he feels bad about it. He's not sorry. It's guilt.
For those who don't know, Nando invited Adam Azer to, introduced Adam Azer to his lovely wife, and was not even invited to be part of Adam's wedding party. It's just...
It's pretty messed up.
It's pretty messed up, Nando.
But I almost wore a tux anyway just to piss him off, but I didn't.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to play a game of fact or fiction here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to Fantasy Baseball Today. We have a game of fact or fiction. Nando DeFino going up against Scott White. Are you gentlemen ready?
I'm ready. Tell you what, fun fact, used to lose to Scott White all the time during the Fantasy Baseball Today days. Got crushed. Like pretty hard, and Fantasy Baseball 360 days with George Sedano.
Hey, look what I got. We used to have. Nando.
Remember, I don't have mine.
You designed these cups, right? You designed them.
Well, no, I was given the design. I ordered them though.
I have so many in my pantry. They're gonna last me till I'm 60.
They were so awesome. Like I made these for like my brother's bachelor party. So I just used the same company because the cups were so great. So all I do now is just order cups in bulk for events.
All right, fact or fiction. Let's try and get to as many of these as we possibly can.
Oh,
number
sorry,
one.
Are we reminiscing too much? I'm sorry about
no, no,
that.
No, no, no. It's just, yeah, no, I
my
mean,
bad. I'll get you a cup.
We can just skip the game and we can just do Nando's favorite players for next year.
No, no. People can just read an article on that. Let's play the game.
All right, fact or fiction. Nando, you're our guest, so you'll go first. Lucas Giolito had a higher swinging strike rate than Shane Bieber this season.
Nando's say that's first. Fact. That sounds like a trick question. That's a fact.
Okay. Scott White?
I am positive that's a fact.
And you are both correct.
Oh, listen to that. What a sound effect, Frankie.
Yeah, that's why I got a little bit of a late start here on the podcast. I was downloading sound effects right before we started.
Could have just added them in later.
It's easier to do it. I have this little soundboard thing, so I might as well.
Oh, nice.
All right, so I thought that was pretty interesting. As great as Bieber was at inducing whiffs and strikeouts this year, Lucas Giolito was even better, so... Keep that in mind. Yeah. Look,
I think
Giolito.
It was second only to DeGrom, I think.
I know DeGrom was first. Giolito was either second or third.
Lucas Giolito's mom was in the ring. How about that?
The movie, you know, The Ring?
Sorry, Frank, there's a movie called The Ring.
I know that one.
It's a remake of a Japanese horror film.
Right. The long hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Lucas Giolito's mom, I think, played the aunt in that movie.
So it's funny you bring that up. When I was watching his no-hitter, the broadcast was talking about how he has ties. His family has like ties to Hollywood. Like he's from Hollywood. And
yeah. I have heard that before.
Either his cousin or uncle is some at least decent known actor. So
yeah,
there you go.
He was second to DeGrom, though it was basically a three-way tie for second. Him, Giolito, Maeda, and Bieber.
All right, next up, Scott, you're going to go first for this one. Despite having 81 fewer at-bats, Darren Ruff provided more roto value than Victor Robles.
How many steals did Robles end up with? It took him forever to get his first. I dropped him in a 16-team categories league. I'm going to say that's fact.
Nando?
Here's the thing. How many times have you done this game, Frank?
This is the debut.
Because so when you're game master, your instinct is not to go true. And as much as I love Darren Ruff, and I believe he was on my Scott White Dynasty League roster for... He might still be on it, actually. But he definitely made an appearance for at least a couple weeks. I'm going to say it's false. As much as I want to embrace this because I love Darren Ruff and the career renaissance, I'm going to say it's false because you didn't want to come out with two truths.
Okay, Nando, you are... wrong. And Scott White is... correct.
Sorry, I doubted you. I should have followed my heart.
Nando, is Victor Robles just done, even though he's like 24 years old?
No, I thought he was. And then I went back and looked at his minor league stats earlier this season. I'm like, you know what? He's good. Maybe he just hasn't figured it out. Maybe the manager hasn't, you know, hyped him up enough. Maybe he hasn't found his role on the team yet. But there's enough backing stats for me to be okay with it. I think he's just young and it might take him a year or two. Maybe he's that guy who gets sent down in like May next year to work on some things and then comes like roaring back in June and is amazing. Maybe he just needs just that little tweak, that little light, and then he'll go nuts.
Yeah.
Darren Ruff is not on Nando's dynasty team. How do you like this? Live fact checks.
Oh man.
I make a lot of moves once I'm out of the playoffs, Scott. I get lose track of who's on there.
So I did. I should have started with Scott so that he would go first for the third question, but it's fine. Oh, Nando, okay. You're going to go first here. And the question, this is fact or fiction. Nando once started a wrestling match with professional wrestler Eric Young in the middle of a bar. But maybe Nando did it while he was drunk and he doesn't remember. And I remember.
Wait, he's going to know. Or is he going to try and manipulate? I don't know how this is supposed to work.
Nando, yeah,
that's messed up, Frank.
Should I just let Scott go first then?
Yeah, let's just let me go.
All right, okay. Scott, you go first.
So, Nando once started a wrestling match with professional wrestler Eric Young in the middle of a bar. I don't know who Eric Young is. I know there are two baseball players with that name, but I don't know the wrestler. I'm not sure it matters. It's just such an obscure name.
You like him. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a fantasy guy.
Good fantasy football player.
Is he?
Yeah, fantasy football. He does fantasy hockey for The Athletic. Did a mailbag. But like just a very
I'm gonna
nice
say,
guy.
This like Nando isn't quite, this doesn't quite sound like Nando. I'm going to say this is a fiction.
All right, Nando.
I'm positive this is fiction.
Yeah.
99% positive this is fiction. I'm not a wrestling guy, so I wouldn't have done that.
You're both correct.
I'm acing this test.
All right.
Oh, dude, I got to tell you, I would text him on Monday nights when he was doing Monday Night Raw without thinking like, oh, this guy's on Monday Night Raw right now. And I'm like, hey, man, just a stupid question about like the hockey column or something. Hey, man, what's going on? I'll be right back. I'm changing. I'm like, okay, that's weird. he's on Monday Night. He's on like, yeah, the biggest stage of wrestling. And I'm just texting him about hockey. There you go.
All right, so who gets to go first for this one? Nando, technically, correct?
Yeah, let Nando do it.
All right, Rafael Devers finished with a higher average exit velocity in 2020 than he did in 2019.
I'm going to say that's a fact because he was so bad early on. I think it's stuck in people's minds that Devers did not have a good season. But if you had Devers on your team, you saw that the underlying stats were actually pretty good. So I'm going to say that's a fact.
Scott?
It sounds like the answer should be fact because that's the less obvious one. But I think it's fiction, actually. I'm going to say this is fiction.
Nando DeFino, you are correct.
Yeah! Stick that, Scotty White.
And we have a tie, 3-3. Nando, you're absolutely right. Devers got off to a really slow start this year. The strikeout rate was higher than it has been in the past. It was like 27% this year. Last year in his breakout season, it was right around 17%. But if he gets that strikeout rate down again next season, then we're looking at that batting average approaching 300 again. And look, I'm always a fan of Rafael Devers, so I find a way to talk myself into him. So, yeah, Rafi Devers. All right, Scott, you go first for this one. Despite one less start, Tyler Glasnow had more strikeouts than Max Scherzer this season.
Again, I feel like the question is pointing to me to say this is a fact because, you know, it would be unexpected for Glasnow to have more strikeouts than Scherzer and one less start. But Scherzer's strikeout rate was normal this year. That wasn't his problem. So if he got one more start than Glasnow, especially with Glasnow having those innings issues earlier, I'm going to say this is fiction because Scherzer had more strikeouts than Glasnow.
Nando?
I'm going with Scott for all the reasons that he listed. I think this one, you made it sound too obvious, like you want us to say it's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you guys are both correct. Yeah.
You can't do four facts in a row.
I didn't. I had a fiction in there somewhere.
Yeah, but that was the fake one about me wrestling a guy in a bar. Wrestling Eric Young in a bar.
Yeah, this is my first time doing this, so it's like trial and error. Tyler Glasnow. Nando, will Tyler Glasnow be worthy of being drafted as a top 15 starting pitcher in 2021?
Dude, I love Tyler Glasnow more than a lot of people. And I think, I don't know, like 2 years ago or whatever, I was all over Tyler Glasnow. And I think, you know what? I called him the Cy Young winner. I actually put a DraftKings bet on him being the Cy Young Award winner before 2019. And if he didn't get hurt, he was well on his way. But he got hurt, Frankie. And this is what's worrying me is that elbow is going to tear at some point or something's going to happen. I wish, if he never got hurt, I know that's a big if. Yes, I would put him in top five. But there's something there, and I think it's just going to happen. And I'm just constantly worried about that. And that's just the risk that I don't want to take. As good as he is and as much as I love him, don't want to take the risk.
The Rays handle everybody with kid gloves too.
Yeah.
Like even if he doesn't get hurt, I don't know. It'll be hard to rank that many pitchers ahead of him, obviously. But I don't think I'll be the guy drafting him.
All right, we are tied 4-4. Nando, you are up first. Keston Hiura led the National League in strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go through in my head. I'm going to say that's false. Yeah, I'm going to say that's fiction, Frankie.
Scott?
I don't think he did.
I'm going to say fact.
Are you just doing that to be different than Nando?
He's a strategist.
And I thought the better strategy would actually be to say fiction, but I have a hunch this is right.
Scott White, you are. Correct! Yeah. Nando!
Hold back ahead.
This is garbage.
Oh, man. Scott, I mean, this is... He led all of baseball with 85 strikeouts in 59 games played, so...
Who was number two?
Number two in the National League was Christian Yelich, his teammate. He had 76 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, shame. Is this kind of just who Keston Hiura is at this point, Scott? Because we looked at the minor league profile and we thought coming into this year, all right, well, he's not going to strike out as much as he did in 2019 because that's not what he did in the minors. And then he went out there and he led the National League in strikeouts.
Yeah, part of my optimism for him heading into this season was that part of his game had to improve. He would strike out less. And as I just talked about earlier, for guys where we saw this big spike in strikeouts and really nothing else went wrong for them, I'm going to mostly give them a pass for that. But since Hiura had that half season as a rookie where the strikeouts were awful too, I'm definitely going to be less enthusiastic about drafting him next year. It's still, look, we're still talking less than a full season of at-bats from this guy. So I'm not ready to say this is who he is, but it was discouraging for sure.
Alrighty.
I was fact checking you, Frankie. Sorry, man. I don't know why I'm not looking this up on here and I'm going to my phone, but creature of habit.
Scott is up by one. And Scott leads us off for this fact or fiction. According to thefactsite.com, it has to be real. It has fact in the URL, obviously. 5% of Americans actually believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
I mean, I feel like you can find 5% of Americans who believe anything, right? But that's such a precise, if it's six, does that mean I'm wrong? I'm going to say that's fact.
I'm going to say it's fiction. I think it's a much higher number. I think it's like 15%.
So, Scott, you raised an interesting question. Because technically... All right. Well, anyway, Scott, you are correct.
Oh, okay. Good.
Clenched. Wait, did you say fact or fiction?
I said fact.
Oh, well... I lied. You're wrong.
What are you doing to me, Frankie?
But so I confused myself.
How could you play with his emotions like that?
Because I confused myself because it's actually 7%.
Oh, okay. So I got the part that wasn't actually factual. I just decided it was factual.
Yes. That was pretty dirty, man.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing myself. Nando, you said fact, right?
What? No.
You said fiction.
I said it was going to be 15%.
Oh, so nobody got it right.
You need an intern, Frank.
You're probably right.
It's true or false. It doesn't matter what he said fiction, so he gets it right.
7% of Americans believe that chocolate milk actually comes from brown cows. Okay, so here's the final question. And it starts off with...
I'm not sure I want to bring it up, but I do wonder how that was determined. Because was it just the split second I'm answering this question? Oh, yeah. But then, like, you know, if they walked away thinking, oh, that was dumb. That's obviously wrong. You know what I'm talking about?
Was the people messing with the survey? Because like, I mess with surveys all the time.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. If I don't like the questions, I'm lying left and right.
Oh, my gosh.
What's my household income?
I couldn't tell you.
I could make up a number.
I'm going to have to contact thefactsite.com and find out. All right. So we have Nando's down by one. Scott is winning. So, who goes first here? Nando goes first.
So, yeah, this is how I'm going to... This is going to sink me.
Yeah. All right, the last one. Brandon Kinstler led the National League in saves.
Oh, that's true. Wow. Wait, that's not true. End of the season got a little shaky. That's fiction.
Well, I know Brad Hand led the majors. I was just looking at that the other day. Don't remember who led the NL. I do know Kinstler had 12.
Can we see Scott's hands, please? Can we see Scott's hands?
I do know Kinstler had 12. not that many pitchers did. I'm going to say that is... trying to think of who else would have more in the NL. I'm going to say that's true. Fact. We'll have a winner here for sure, one way or the other.
Or we're going to have to go to a bonus round.
No, because we both said opposite things. So.
Yeah, Nando's down by one. So who's correct?
I thought
Frank,
we were
you're
tied
really
too.
Come on, man.
Nando,
respect the game.
Nando's correct. Brandon Kinstler had 12 saves. Josh Hader had 13. One
that
more.
That would have been my guess for who beat him. Then it's okay, I'll take it.
All right. So there has to be a winner. I do have some bonus questions just in case.
Interesting. Former teammates.
I saw this coming. That is interesting. All right. We'll lead off with Scott in the bonus round. According to thefactsite.com, who now we're questioning the legitimacy of this website. I'm sorry. A baby octopus is about the size of a flea when it's born. Scott, you're up first.
First of all, I want to say I look like an idiot if we weren't tied heading into that last question, because I'm the guy who risked it all in Final Jeopardy when he was more than doubling up everybody else. But anyway.
You had it, man.
Yeah. The size of a flea, a baby octopus. I feel like that's absurd. Is it? Aren't they different sizes depending on the species? I'm going to say that's true. It just sounds too random to make up.
I'm just the messenger.
I'm
going to
say it's true, too.
Fact.
You are both correct. All right. Moving on to the next one. Dylan Moore had more steals than Fernando Tatis this season. Nando?
I'm going to say that's fact. Moore had a very, very good season.
especially.
Who else had a lot of steals? Shogo Akiyama, and he got them all in bunches.
How many did he have?
He had at least six over last 14 days when I checked, right?
Well,
around,
Moore had,
around September 15th.
I know, Moore had double that, so I agree it's fact.
You are both correct. All right, well, I only have three here, so someone's got to get this wrong. The final question.
I already won, Frank. Was I, these are just for fun, right?
No.
That's not what he said.
Nando tied it up. You were down by one.
You're so confused by this.
I am.
I hope someone at home is keeping track of this.
I am keeping track, I think. Whatever. Anyway, final question. It all comes down to this, Scott. Among qualified starting pitchers, Matthew Boyd had the highest whip in the league.
That sounds like fiction. It sounds like there had to be somebody with higher than him. He doesn't walk that many guys. Fiction.
I'm going to say fiction as well. Not because I believe it, because I want to see you panic when you're out of questions.
I'm not going to panic. I'm just going to say that you're both the winner. Because that is correct. Do you know who actually led all qualified starting pitchers in whip? Actually, if one of you guys can guess this, you will win.
Oh.
No, man. That's unfair.
No,
man.
You only get one guess. That's it. And if you don't, it ends in a tie. I'm sorry. I was unprepared.
Who was terrible? Who was terrible?
Yeah, who walked terrible. A lot of guys might have been able to hide
but it. Still pitched a lot of innings.
What was that game that Baseball Prospectus used to run, Hacking Mass, when you had to pick the worst, but they had to play enough to really, really be detrimental to the lineups? Mm-hmm. I played that a couple times. It was awesome.
Okay.
I'm just buying Scott White time now.
You want me to come up with the right answer? I'm not coming up with a good answer. I'm going to say, I'm only thinking of good pitchers here.
Qualified leader didn't have to pitch that much this year. Right?
I guess we are going to need an answer.
I'm stumped.
I got to just say Masahiro Tanaka because the first name that comes to mind is someone who walks.
Definitely wrong.
It's wrong, but it's my guess, damn it.
Wait, I'm going to come up with one. No, I'm not. Go ahead.
You're not going to come up with one? All right. It is not Masahiro Tanaka, and it was actually Patrick Corbin. He had a 1.57 whip.
I think that's it was his, thrown out this season.
His final two starts, I think he allowed 24 hits. So, yikes. All right, man. Well, that was our first debut, a job that I butchered, of fact or fiction.
Maybe you're doing this on video. Get a whiteboard behind you. Keep score that way, Frank.
Yeah, well, I am keeping score. Everyone can see here, I have like all my little notes here. I wrote down fact or fiction for all the answers, which ones are right. I have
you
the little
fact like fart.
Sorry. Oh man! All right,
looks
Nando.
Like you misspelled bonus.
Nando, we don't have a lot of We have like no time left. But give us a few names. Some of those Nando deep sleepers to pay attention to in 2021.
Well, I like Yermin Mercedes, even though I thought it was going to happen this year. It didn't. Hold on, I pulled up my article so I could remember some of these names.
You'll probably have to say team and position.
Sorry,
for these.
Yermin Mercedes, catcher in the White Sox system, who had an amazing spring training. Hammered the ball. I don't know. I liked him a lot. I thought he could do something. He's 27 this year, so he's not young. But I think his look at his numbers in the minors last year. He had 23 home runs. He was building that up for 2016-14 previous years. Got his batting average up over 300. It's a loaded team, so it's going to be tough for him to break through there. I still got faith in Kristen Stewart despite this terrible year. Yadiel Hernandez, I'm going to love forever. Dude's 32, had a home run this year, finally got a shot. And how about Jose De Leon, man? Forever. He's got those numbers. I just think he was hammered this year pretty badly. But he's a starter. And I don't know. Either they trade him or Cincinnati finds some kind of openings for him. I like him, man. Go back and look at his numbers before he got hurt, before the Tommy John, back when he was even in the Dodgers system. He had low ERA, low whip, sky-high strikeout rate. You don't just lose that after Tommy John. I think he just hasn't been in the right situation. So those are a few. Keep an eye on him.
All right. Write those names down. Look for them in your dynasty leagues. You want to pick them up, stash them away, or some AL, NL-only leagues as well. Remember the names from Nando DeFino. Nando, thank you so much. Is there anything that you would like to promote? What do you have going on over at The Athletic?
Nah, man, I think it's Google. They'll find it.
Sure?
I agree with the promotion stuff. Yeah, come check it out. It's fun. We got fun podcasts and stuff.
Of course. Go follow him on Twitter @NandoDeFino. It's a lot of fun. Thank you, Nando. Any parting words for Adam? You want me to send his way?
No, you have to bleep a lot out. I was texting with him earlier. Don't worry, I got it in.
All righty,
that's fun, dude. This was Scott White again.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, the world. I mean, I think the world will know that I beat you in this. Even though Frank doesn't, for some reason.
I'll go back and listen to it and see how badly I messed it up. But I think you guys were tied. I think.
You got to go back. I don't even know if this video still exists. Scott, I don't even think you lost the bet. We used to have these bets every week, and Scott would never lose them. Beat me, beat Al. Al had to do a comedy stand-up routine. I had to drink some disgusting concoction that we made, that George made for us.
Yeah.
But I think at one point you actually lost one, and you had to do a ventriloquist routine with that slappy dummy that we had. I don't know if that still exists.
That does sound familiar. I don't know if it exists anymore. I'm not sure.
It's somewhere.
forgot all of that. Wasn't that like Night of the Living Dummy from Goosebumps? Wasn't it that dummy?
It was a Goosebumps dummy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
slappy.
I think I saw this Al Melchior stand up somewhere. Either you showed it to me or Al showed it to me.
The best part was we wrote his jokes.
Right.
They were amazing. These amazing puns. Even Dave Richard wrote a couple great ones. And he had to do it for the whole company. And we didn't tell the company that he had lost the bet and they were purposely terrible jokes.
Ooh. Right.
And we put up signs, come see Big Al Melchior in the cafeteria. And so many people came.
Gosh, it's great. It was a lot of fun, Nando. Thank you for coming on. And maybe we'll do it again in the offseason. God knows we have time. So
you know where to reach me, Frank.
Yeah. On this little thing right here. I'll text
you. There you go. Right.
We'll have fun. All right. For Scott White, Nando DeFino, I am Frank Stanfield. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!